Welcome, everyone, to today's panel. I think it will be an interesting one, to say the least. I'd like to introduce the panelists one by one, and if you could join us up here on stage. Frantz Biilmann, legendary political reporter with the Chicago Sun-Times, has covered government politics top to bottom, side to side for many years. Fran, please join us. Cliff Kelly, the voice of WVON radio, been involved in politics and government and community service for many, many years. Expertise through many years as starting with a member of the city council some years ago, and on it goes. So please join us, Cliff. Kristen McQuarrie, editorial board member of the Chicago Tribune. Please join us on stage. Kristen's beat, if you will, on the board includes government, politics, and education, and she also works on the candidate endorsements. Kristen, thank you. So I'd like to start today by having each one of you make some introductory remarks, sharing your thoughts, insights, commentary as you wish about the upcoming mayoral race. Why don't we start with you, Fran? And please limit your remarks to 3 to 4 minutes, and we'll get into questions and discussion. Thank you.
4 years ago, I wrote a piece in the Sunday paper that really got under Mayor Emanuel's skin. I compared him to Jane Byrne in that I saw parallels that could make Rahm Emanuel a one-termer. There were financial problems that were so great that the solutions were going to require painful, painful things of Chicago taxpayers. There was an angry union that had been provoked into a strike in both cases. There was a reluctant and underfunded mayoral challenger who seemed to grow, whose charisma seemed to grow with the movement that the person was drafted to lead, against a wounded incumbent that had money as no object, like to play on the national stage. There were also black voters who had been supportive of that mayor and then felt very disenfranchised by that same mayor. Emanuel managed to survive that campaign and not be a one-termer because he spent $24 million. He had a challenger who was late to the game because Karen Lewis, as we all know, has brain cancer and had to drop out of that race. And the mayor managed to make Chuy Garcia in the runoff the issue. He portrayed him as incapable of handling Chicago's financial problems. He made him the issue. This time, I really don't believe that the mayor is going to be able to do that. He is the issue. And a lot has changed since then. Of course, we have the Laquan McDonald video. We have the two upcoming trials that are very poorly timed for Rahm Emanuel, and who knows what's going to happen there. Both trials probably will be in the run-up to the election, and there could be, you know, problems if, in fact, there is an acquittal and there is unrest there. So that's a huge wild card for Emanuel. You also have $2 billion in taxation that has been required by the pension crisis. It wasn't Rahm Emanuel's fault, but he's the guy who inherited the problems. He knew it when he was coming in, and he's going to have to wear the jacket for that taxation, as are members of the city council. You have also the crime, and you have the mayor caught in a vice between police officers who feel like the mayor doesn't have their back, and the people who are demanding a say in that reform, who want a consent decree that the police officers don't want. You have the whole issue of retiree health care that the mayor abolished and bragged about in his private emails. And you have an energized youth movement that we just saw in the Dan Ryan protest and also in the No Police Academy situation. Add to that the anti-incumbent fever sweeping the nation. And Rahm Emanuel, by his own saying, reeks of incumbency, as he puts it. And so you have these unique problems coupled with the mayor's likability factor. Paul Vallis was somewhat bold and crude when he said, let's face it, you're a bully, people don't like you. But the fact is the mayor has that problem as well. So nobody will outraise Rahm Emanuel. He already has $8 million in the bank. He will probably raise $30 million if it's a penny. But it's going to be very, very difficult for him. The mayor's folks think that he is a lock to be in the runoff. But all of the polling, his polling, everyone else's polling, even though they're different, show one thing, and that is that Emanuel gets stuck at 40% or thereabouts. Sometime or another, he's going to have to get over 50. In order to do that, he's going to have to repair himself somehow with some group. Now, he has played very heavily to the Hispanic community because the more Hispanic votes he gets, the fewer black votes he needs. I believe he had somewhere around 56% of the black vote in the runoff against Chuy Garcia. So the mayor has created a $1.3 million defense fund for his illegal immigrants who feel threatened by Trump. He has waged this war against Trump. He has sued Trump. He has done everything to try to play to the Hispanic community. But again, his problem is that no matter what he does, he still has to get above 50. I have a very strong sense, and I may be wrong on this, but I promised myself when I was shocked by Michael Blandick's victory that I would never be shocked again. And so I anticipate the unexpected. My anticipation is that Rahm Emanuel will make the runoff, but that he will have a very difficult time winning the runoff. I don't know who's going to get him there, but whoever does has a very strong chance of winning.
Thank you, Fran. Let's move on, and thank you for those insights. Kristen, what are your thoughts?
Good.
Cliff just said good.
Clifford.
No, I said Kristen. I'm going in reverse alphabetical order.
Right.
So I think the promotion to the luncheon talked about what's different this time around with the mayoral race. And I would say a couple of things. One, you're almost inevitably going to see Rahm Emanuel in a runoff, which he obviously didn't have the first time around. And the second time around, we were all sort of waiting to see if it happened. It did. So I think that's a little bit different. I think you're going to see a lot more fuzzy sweater commercials. Maybe different colors, maybe yellow, maybe like a Mr. Rogers pale blue. So on both of those issues, on the issue of a runoff, he is facing for the first time a field that is really formidable. The first time around, he was very focused on his residency status. I mean, when I look back at clips from the Chicago Tribune and the Sun-Times at that point, there was a huge question as to whether he was going to be on the ballot. So I don't think he really got a full vetting in that first time around. Second time around was pre-Laquan McDonald. City finances he hadn't quite tackled yet. And we really talked a lot about taxation between he and Chuy Garcia. Are you going to raise taxes? Are you not going to raise taxes? But I don't think the field that time around was really strong. We all know Chuy Garcia advanced to the runoff mostly as a protest vote against Rahm, not as a big supportive effort behind his candidacy. This time he has people who worked for him, who know his dirty laundry, whose dirty laundry he knows, who have personal vendettas, which always makes it fun. You have a former schools CEO who's going to be able to poke him on education where he's vulnerable. You have a police superintendent, former police superintendent, who's going to be able to poke him on crime where he's vulnerable. You have Lori Lightfoot, who's extremely well-versed in Chicago police discipline, who's an attorney who worked in City Hall, former school principal who can really deliver heavy punches, I think, on the schools and the pipeline between CPS and principals. So for the first time, you have people who are just coming into the race, even though some of them don't have a lot of money. They have a lot more experience and a lot more ways that they can make him vulnerable. As for the sweater issue, I guess I'm surprised we're still at a point where he hasn't been able to warm up. I think it's just not in his DNA. I think it's a problem for him in that he is still, all these years later, dealing with the perception that everything he does is for his own means, his own self-protection, and not that of voters. every politician does this. We're in campaign season. But I think he has taken it to an extreme where he has this image that nothing gets done at City Hall unless it is vetted through a political lens instead of what is best for citizens. And he came into office at a time where the city really needed someone who was going to do the opposite, who was going to make bold, unpopular decisions and willing to be a one-termer in order to do it. Shake up city council, get rid of some of the sacred cow committeeman chairmanships, deal with your west side and south side problems, focus entirely on areas of the city that need your help. Downtown in Streeterville and a lot of those areas he gets credit for, which I would give him credit for the improvement on some of those neighborhoods too, but a lot of that was the free market. Streeterville doesn't need the heft of the Chicago mayor. North Lawndale does. Lincoln Park doesn't need the heft of a strong mayor. Austin does. West Pullman. East Garfield Park. All of these places where you see this continued neglect, and I don't think you've seen a laser focus. All of these issues are, to me, part of that fuzzy sweater problem that he has. And I think in the end, whatever sort of a runoff he ends up in, it's going to come down to whether voters still feel connected and that he is focused on the right things for the city, or whether he is truly, even though he wears the progressive hat and the Democrat, he is a one percenter.
Thank you, Kristen. Just a reminder, you have question forms on your tables, and someone from staff will come around and collect those. So please fill out the forms if you have a question. Amanda's raising her hand over there, along with her colleague. So let's move on here and hear from Cliff Kelly.
Thank you very much. And first, I just want to say I'm so pleased to be invited. The City Club has done such a great job over the years, and I see a lot of people that I know, and it's just a pleasure to see so many people. Also, I'm sorry I'm late, but I did hear that I'm going to get a doggy bag. The food here is excellent. I've eaten here many, many times for these meetings. I was a little late. Many of you probably don't know this, but I was tied up trying to get some information. The Bush Library just burned to the ground. Yeah, both books were lost. And he had just finished coloring the second one, so it was worth. Listen, these two ladies have really spelled out so much relative to this election, which I think is great. A couple of things I want to add, but they've been fantastic, and I know we'll have some great questions from the audience. The one thing that first let me say this. When we talk about money and we talk about the last runoff with Garcia, I've been around since the earth was cooling. And I have never in all these years gotten a piece of political mail that was as expensive as the one from the White House supporting Emanuel. Four pages, five color. I mean, very, very expensive. And then the last page, it's got him with his arm around him, and it says, to assure that the Obama Foundation will put the museum in Chicago, re-elect Rahm Emanuel mayor, which was amazing to see that. And, of course, notwithstanding that fact, as you know, he still ended up in a runoff. This time, I'm not even sure that he's going to be in a runoff. We got some great candidates out there. And I was involved, of course, in the closing down the Ryan. I was pleased to be there. And it's funny how people, although they are totally against something, if they think it's going to get them a couple of votes, you know, they'll say, oh, yeah, for that. You would have thought that Emanuel had called Father Mike and told him, I want you to do this. You know, this was ridiculous. But the people who showed up out there were just fantastic. You had African Americans, you had whites from all groups, you had Hispanics. And the one thing that I really, as soon as I got there, I ran into one of my good friends who's a very competent civil rights attorney. And they had a number of attorneys out there. I knew that, but I was happy to see him. that they were out there just in case something happened to somebody, if they got arrested. The thing that got me, too, is they had six buses, for those of you who might have seen it, from the Illinois Department of Probation or whatever you call it. Yeah, right, in case they... At that time, they were talking about locking people up. They never did make the arrangement to keep the whole Dan Ryan open, although our governor said there had been an arrangement, and Father Mike, who never steps back, looked into the camera and said, that's a lie. I haven't talked to him. I haven't talked to any of his people. So when we got to a certain spot, you know, things kind of got iffy, but it was worked out. But the interesting thing there, and we're talking about the mayoral, is the fact that we know that Emanuel didn't want this, but he came out and said, yes, he was in favor of this this closing to Ryan. That's seemingly he'll do whatever. The situation with education is pathetic. He's going to have a very, very hard time dealing with that. You've got some people running that really know about education, like LaRavier, who is a former principal. You've got a number of people, and of course we know what the CTU is about. In fact, if it hadn't been for the leader of the CTU, I think he would have lost. You know, if she hadn't gotten sick, I think she would have won. But you've got that, and of course you've got the crime. The crime is, listen, it's spreading. It's not getting any better. You're seeing people getting robbed in the Mag Mile. You're seeing all kinds of things. Now, the crime is bad enough, but what's even worse is the failure to resolve them. When you've got more crime than any other city, but notwithstanding that fact, you've got a clearance rate of 18%. So that means if I want to go out and commit a crime, and I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking, well, I've got an 82% chance that I'm not going to be caught. That's not a good thing. The police department, for whatever, you know, well, you know what's going to happen, 16 shots on a cover-up. That's certainly going to come up during this election, anybody who thinks. Because, of course, they tried to keep the film, the tape. They tried to hide the tape. That'll come up every day. The one thing, too, that bothers me about this whole thing with the police, a black judge that I know, and I think it made the paper. All you folks may know this. He found his dad's old gun. His father's passed away. And, you know, the cops have this buyback. So he took his father's gun, turned it in, got $20. He's happy. And the gun shows up in a burglary. Although those are supposed to be melted when you turn them in. Well, obviously, this one wasn't. There are things like you've got 500 to 1,000 boxcars in a rail yard. How do the guys know which one has the guns in it? You know, that's where all these people get all of these guns. And then, of course, you have the out-and-out racism in many situations relative to the police department, which is unfortunate. But that goes. So Lori Lightfoot was mentioned. She's got a lot of support. Well, a lot of these people have support. I shouldn't just say that. But I do want to say this. Many of you know Pat Quinn, right? Well, you know, they are such a thing. I was a member of the city council for a number of years. You can put on these advisory things, advisory measures. You can only do three of them per election. So the mayor's minions did that. That was going to block what Quinn is trying to do. What Quinn is trying to do is to get enough signatures to make the mayor of the city of Chicago to be two terms only, like New York, like California, like most big cities. It's two terms for the mayor, and that's it. So that was supposed to block it. Well, that's not blocking it, because and I was a delegate to the Constitutional Convention. In fact, I was on the legislative committee, and I meant to go back, and I will. I'll read it before the end of the week. But Article 7, Section 11 of the Illinois State Constitution says this is a binding referendum. That's different than an advisory referendum.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different. It's a binding referendum. He's out there getting the signatures. Quinn is good at getting signatures, and I'm sure he'll get enough. I'm sure there'll be litigation, but that's another thing that is not being talked about to the degree that I think is going to be important in this election. So we've got
a
number of things.
I'm going to stop you there, Cliff, if I could, so we can move on to questions.
Oh, certainly.
But mm-hmm. feel free to make your other points in the discussion.
Okay? No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, question from Jean Voss. This sounds like a good one to kick off. And this is to any and all. With the extraordinary ability of Rahm to raise obscene amounts of money, does the media, I would say do the media, have an even more urgent obligation to help opponents get their records and ideas out to voters through news?
I mean, I have an obligation to cover the opponents regardless of how much money Rahm Emanuel has. And again, this is an election. If people don't like Emanuel, are they going to be assuaged by seeing him on TV every 5 seconds? I don't think so. You know what I mean? So this, I'm not sure that the money makes as much of a difference this time. But, I mean, the coverage, the fairness has nothing to do with how much each of the candidates have. We have an obligation to cover them all, to tell people what they stand for, what their programs are, and we're going to do that.
I would agree. I mean, I was looking at campaign finance reports before I came here today, and I will say that when there is a, we do tend to flock around opponents who are getting campaign donations. It's not necessarily the money, it's the support. You do want. We will be probably vetting some of the candidates more than we will others. It's just an unfortunate part of scarce resources in a crowded field. But Rahm's money won't have anything to do with our coverage of the opponents, is I guess what I would say.
Yeah, I feel the same way. We'll invite everybody on. You know, I don't really, unless there's some change, big change, I don't see that Rahm's money is going to make that much of a difference.
Mm-hmm. All right. This one was submitted online. Remember, if you go to the City Club of Chicago's website, you can submit questions in advance online on our digital form. William McGarr, question, is any of the candidates for mayor focused on the level of property taxes in the city and the massive increases people are now absorbing?
Well, Paul Vallis and Lori Lightfoot have both said that they feel that the choices that Emanuel has made as far as the taxation have overburdened the average Joe, the middle class, and really hammered away property taxes and telephone taxes and water and sewer taxes, which is really like a property tax. And then, of course, you have this cliff of pension problems. The mayor has recurring funding sources for all four city employee pension funds, but there's this cliff. You're going to have another billion in taxation shortly after the new mayor is elected. I dare say you're not going to hear plans from Mayor Emanuel, or hopefully maybe some of his challengers will, but they really owe it to the voters to tell them what is in store. Last time, the mayor really didn't do that. He made Chewy the issue. He made him look like a deer in the headlights when he unveiled his financial plan. He really lost the election on that Friday when he unveiled his financial plan, and it was like you could put your hand through it. And he looked like he didn't have it to confront this problem. But we have another huge cliff that these candidates must tell us, or we should try to demand that they tell us what is their plan.
I have nothing to add. That's
okay, Cliff?
Yeah, I agree with what Fran is saying. I don't think I don't know what he can do relative to the people I talk to. We have open lines sometimes to talk, and of course we have the candidates in. But there's going to be a good division there, but there are some people who are really out there saying some things that they want to hear, and he's not doing it. And one of the things that worries me, there are so many people who want to get out of this place. I believe that after the census, we're going to lose a member of Congress, because in certain areas, it is horrible, and there are folks who don't want to stay, and many of them are already gone. I don't know what he could possibly say that with those issues that are being talked about, I don't see that he can really recover those folks. Some of them voted for him before, but they're saying now that they won't.
So let's stick with property taxes for a minute, because this is something that's it's almost a circular conundrum. I mean, because you have to have a strong property tax base to support things like Chicago public schools and public education for our children, and yet is the increase in the nickeling and diming going to drive people out of the city of Chicago, and what does that mean for infrastructure, for schools, for safety?
One thing people don't mind spending money about is education, and I totally agree with that. And one of the things that I think we should have done a long time ago, we are the only district in the entire state that does not have an elected school board. There are people who still want that. The House passed it overwhelmingly, which surprised me, but as you probably know, it didn't make it in the Senate. But that's an important issue. We talk about the safe passage to schools. We want our children to get to schools safely. But I never thought that once they got to the school, they could be criminalized. Oh, my God. I mean, you know, kids get to school and then they're going to be abused in school and folks don't follow up to do what they're supposed to do. He did say, and I was surprised. He, meaning the mayor, said, I'm sorry. So I'm surprised he took...
But that even that had to be, like, pulled out of his mouth like an extracted
right.
tooth. the mayor doesn't show... it's incredible that he didn't show the empathy in sure. that terrific story that the Tribune did. I give them great credit for that.
So do I.
Tremendous work. But his reaction was just strange at first. It's not that he wanted it to happen or that it all happened under his watch, but... where was the empathy? Where was the anger? Where was the outrage? It just didn't show initially. And I've been amazed by the fact that Emmanuel is someone who served at the highest levels of government as a political advisor, and yet his instincts have betrayed him again and again. He's the one who said no, he didn't think we needed a DOJ investigation into right. the police department. He tried to fight the consent decree. His instincts initially, he wanted to name Obama an Obama prep and put it on the north side. He had to cancel that. You know, his instincts have betrayed him again and again, and it's amazing to me that on his own behalf, he can't react, you know, the way he needs to.
I think that begs the question, though, like, does he have those instincts? Does he have empathy? I mean, that apology about the sex scandal was... well, I'll apologize. All adults apologize. Janice apologizes. So he drags in the school CEO. Then he says, the question is, what do we do moving forward? What are we doing now? What are your ideas? If you have ideas, bring them forward. So then he pushes it on to us, that somehow we're responsible. And if we don't have the answers, then how could he? It was, I'm sorry, one of the most pathetic apologies that I've seen, and he deserves zero credit for that. And I'm quoting him, all adults apologize, I apologize, but, and then spreading the blame around.
So there's a question that was also submitted online from Samantha Liu on this issue in terms of the abuse scandal. How do you think the sexual abuse scandal in Chicago public schools will shape the mayoral election, and what can community members do to hold the next mayor accountable?
Well, I think it reinforces the feeling of Emmanuel as detached and lacking an empathy gene, even though he may have one. He just doesn't come across, even when he is sincere, as sincere. He looks programmed. He looks, you know, removed and detached. I'm sure he was outraged. Any parent would be. My God, can you imagine? I mean, there's nothing more sacred than a child and the child's safety, but you didn't have that outrage. So I think, I don't know that it shapes. It's another scandal at CPS. Of course, we have one CEO sitting in prison. We have another who was forced out in an ethics scandal. We've had many scandals at CPS under Rahm Emanuel's watch, and this is another one and the worst one of all. So I guess it just reinforces that image of him.
It reinforces that there was possibly a cover-up, and I'm just going to put it out there because you had the law department representing these students and collecting their stories and then using it against them. He fought records requests from the Tribune for months. So I think it's he had plenty of time even to prepare for outrage because he had to know we were working on this story, or the newsroom was. As for how it'll impact the race, I think it depends on whether or not lawsuits are filed, how much it's going to cost. I mean, CPS finances are already very fragile, mm-hmm. And whether or not you see more students or families coming forward.
Yeah, there was mention of the CEO of the board being in prison, which, of course, we know is factual. However, the thing to do, the CEO does not have a vote, and the board voted unanimously for that contract. Every vote was for that contract. And this is another reason. Years ago, I helped to try to teach people about local school councils. Went around to different places. They asked me to help, and I did that. The LSCs initially was something less than, obviously, a board. But it was something to give the people some power in determining what is happening in their individual schools. It's gotten to the point now, because I check it occasionally, that they hardly even have enough people to fill those vacancies in the LSCs. People just don't have any faith in the system. And until we get that, an elected school board is the way to do it. Hopefully the legislature will get the intestinal fortitude to do that. The House has, the Senate has. I want to make sure that's known. So we hope that'll be the thing.
Thank you. Let's shift gears for a minute. Sharon Alter has a question. What impact, if any, do you think the November 2018 gubernatorial election will have, the result of same, will have on the mayoral election, if any?
I mean, I think you're seeing Democrats very mobilized. I mean, the mayoral election is sort of nonpartisan, so I don't know that those groups will stay together, or I think they'll more likely be splintered. I kind of think by the time February rolls around, whoever the new governor is will already be installed. They'll be in Springfield, be working on a budget. I don't know that I see direct links between whatever happens in November to the mayoral race here.
One of my great surprises has been the fact that Rauner and Emanuel have been at just loggerheads, and I don't think it's phony either. I mean, I thought the two of them, who knows what deals they would be able to cut, because they were birds of a feather. They had done business together. They were friends. They were vacation buddies. They shared expensive bottles of wine.
Yep.
And it didn't turn out that way. They've really been at loggerheads, and I really believe it is real. So I think if Rauner were to lose, I think that whoever the new mayor is would have an easier time, for sure, because Rahm has had to override a lot of vetoes, particularly on the pension issue with Rauner, and we never expected that.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting because you mentioned the wine and vacations. I remember in the Tribune there was a picture that we're both holding their own bottle of wine, which was $3,000.
It was 40. Wasn't one of the bottles $40,000?
Oh, was it?
Do I have that wrong?
Is there such a thing?
The one, yeah, I didn't.
Oh no, you know what? I think it was a $40,000 wine club.
Well, the one I have, because I saw it was $3,000. Okay. Yeah. I'd take either one though. Yeah.
I wouldn't drink it if there was.
But I don't know. Obviously, for obvious reasons, I am for the Democrat who's running for governor because of the fact of the things that have happened to us relative to the administration as it stands now.
Okay. Mays Jackson, fellow colleague in the news media. Question. We talk about Laquan McDonald a lot, but what role will the economy, or lack thereof, and competition between blacks and Latinos status in the city play in the election?
Well, it's amazing to me that there's no Hispanic candidate.
Mm-hmm.
That and Emanuel has growth potential, his camp believes, in the Hispanic community, which is why you see him playing so heavily to the Hispanic community, because, again, more Hispanic votes, he needs fewer black votes. The field is really wide open for a candidate like a Gary Chico, for example, who ran a very spirited race in 2011, who almost got Rahm Emanuel into a runoff then, and someone who has crossover appeal. So you have to ask yourself, why is there no Hispanic candidate? Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I could put on like conspiracy theories, but I don't really have any. But as to Mays's question about the competition, I don't know the answer. I mean, there were, if you look ward by ward at the Chewy Rom runoff, there were quite a few black wards that still supported Chewy. So I don't know if there was that much anti-Rom sentiment then, and that's the reason. So I guess we wait and see. I hate that answer.
I agree that the Hispanics would have a good chance of doing very well. And I am not sure that there won't be a Hispanic candidate, particularly based on the things they've been able to accomplish in certain areas and taking out some of the other Democrats who are not Hispanic. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure. I have been told by people that they are, I can't mention names, of course, but they are considering it, and I'd be surprised if there isn't one.
Okay, this is a question for you, Cliff, from Doris Davenport. In this post-Herald Washington city, which is more and more pro-business, do you think the same Democratic Party that supports a sanctuary city here will support and submit to black leadership on the fifth floor?
I would hope, unlike most people here, I'm sure, I live in the building that my parents owned when I was born. I've been a lot of places, you know, since then, obviously, a lot of different places. But I'm back there now, and the neighborhood, my block is nice, the houses are nice. But what hurts me more than anything is the community lack, the community's lack of businesses. We had all kinds of businesses. Any kind of business you can think of was in the black community and owned by African American people, which was just great. That does not exist now. I say this, it's not this bad, but I said you could get the third airport and do it there without tearing down a building. But there are so many people who have left again because of all the crime and the problems, and once the buildings become vacant, you know what happens after that. But when I think about and when I talk about the things that used to be there as to what is there now, I don't know. Now, there are people talking about doing what's necessary to bring the community back, and of course the Obama Foundation is going to help to some degree, because that will have some impact on what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Washington Park, for those who may not know.
Yeah.
So there's hope. And I sincerely hope that we're going to be able to do that. I haven't heard Rom say anything relative to doing anything relative to helping.
Well, but, I disagree with that. I mean, okay. He has paid attention, much more, but paid attention to it in the second term. He created that Share the Wealth fund where developers are allowed to build bigger and taller buildings in a broader area of downtown if they contribute to a fund where the money is used for commercial.
If Fran is going well downtown. That's not what I'm talking about.
The money goes into a Share the Wealth fund that is given to neighborhoods. Commercial strips in the south and west sides that need rebuilding. Now, it's not doing it on a broad rebuilding revitalization scale, but it's doing a one-off thing. It's doing something. And he
well, I'd like you to tell me, somebody tell me what it's doing, because I haven't seen it, and the calls I get and the people I talk to and the places I go, it ain't there.
Well, it's helped dozens of businesses, well, but not enough.
We've
got to
see what he's going to do by the time the election comes.
Of course.
You know
well,
I mean?
And we've
right.
seen the chicken in every pot. I mean, we saw universal pre-K. He announced a plan for that, very costly. He announced a plan, $1 billion construction plan for CPS, another high school that,
yeah.
you know,
he's
when high school enrollment is
yeah.
plummeting.
He's,
and,
yeah,
and there are high
right.
schools that need to be closed. So we're going to see a
close
chicken
50
in every
schools.
Pot.
I had policemen calling me, please don't close the mental health clinics. We got a lot of people out here. Listen, I have started on my show, this is just quickly, because of all the problems we have. On Saturdays, I have what's called a show for veterans, because we have so many I'm a veteran. We have so many problems with veterans, with PTSD. We got homeless veterans. We got people who can't get any kind of help at all. It's called America's Heroes Group. We've got an office where we help people. The city needs to do something similar. There are so many people in the city that need help and are not getting it. So I don't know what he's going to. I'd love for him to come out. I'll have him come out and talk to a lot of people. If he would do that, come on my show. That'd be nice, too.
Okay. This is a good segue to Jane Grover's question. What has Mayor Emanuel done well? How has Chicago improved during his service as mayor?
Well, I think he deserves enormous credit for tackling finally the pension crisis and identifying those funding sources for all four pension funds. You must give him credit for that. We do have funding sources. It is not solved, but he certainly has taken the hard steps there. That is essential. He's also cut hundreds of millions of dollars from the budget and structurally helped the city budget. He has also been very successful in attracting corporate headquarters. Now, some of them came from the suburbs, but that part he had, at least in the Obama administration, of course, the ability to tap into the highest levels of government and meet with secretaries and get money, maybe access to money that maybe others didn't have. He has a gravitas in that sense, and I think he has a bully pulpit in that sense, and I think he's done well with that. So in some ways, Chicago was lucky at this time in history to have someone like him who was willing to take the hard steps and who had the access to those kinds of people.
I wouldn't disagree with some of that. I would just say he was very late in getting around to pushing even the state on some different pension issues that fell apart. I give him credit for in his first term. I think he tried to get some concessions from the sergeants union. It didn't work. I just think he's been very slow to do that. And I think if you're going to tap, these funds are in such bad shape, it should have been priority number one in 2011. Democrats who run the state in general at that time should have been working together to try to bring public sector unions on board to do something like Arizona has done, where they actually changed their constitution, which is just like ours, mm-hmm. but they had public union support to pass a referendum to give more flexibility on that benefits cannot be diminished clause. That is something that all of them should have been working together. I also think if you're going to jack up water rates and tie taxpayers' hands, you got to give us a break at the other end. And I have seen his budgets increase. I think Fran has even written stories about in his own office salary increases. You know, he could have done a pay freeze and not just building all new stuff, but actually saying no to some projects in order to make up at the other end for what we are paying in higher property tax and water fees. There is a sense that we're being nickel and dimed. You feel like you can't move in the city without someone in your pocket. You go inside a store, you come out with a parking ticket. You go to O'Hare, if your sticker is a day late or whatever, they are on you. And I do think that's an area where another opponent could tap into. But I do give Emanuel credit for trying to address the pension crisis by tying it to those things. That's more of a state issue than it was for him. I give him credit for downtown. I just think he's been not focused enough on new ideas. We can build a new school, but we need to talk about things, and they're probably going to groan in the room, but in some of these areas where you haven't seen economic development in 20 years, why aren't we talking about right-to-work zones or some things that work in other states? Instead, we keep trying the same ideas over and over again, making it harder and harder for businesses to operate with new bag regulations and a mandatory minimum wage, and you have to go get a license for if you want to move in any direction in the city. And I just think more revolutionary change was needed when he first came in 2011.
Okay. Cliff, anything to add?
No.
About the good things? Okay. Tom Donovan, question. Do you think the electorate is fed up, with millionaires and billionaires buying elections? Will the electorate rebel, negating the importance role of money?
Well, I think after Trump and after Rauner, well, look at Pritzker, though. So we don't really have a choice there.
Yeah, who's rebelling? Because now it's kind of cross-sectional.
So, right. I think there is a sense that, oh, let's try a businessman who's never been in politics. Well, that doesn't work so well sometimes because those people don't know how to get along in government, how to compromise, how to bring people around. But in the governor's race, of course, we have a choice between two billionaires, so forget that. In the mayor's race, again, I do not believe that Emanuel's money will be the difference if one of the challengers, and I believe there will be someone emerging from the pack, I am not sure who, but whoever that someone is will have enough money to get their story out, maybe $5, maybe $10 million. And at that point, because Chewy had $6 million on a late start, and at that point, it will be enough, and Emanuel's money probably will be somewhat negated.
I think relative to, pardon me, the money for the governor's race is very interesting, only because of if you love comedy, you can see what's going on TV right now. Some of these commercials that are going on, once you see them a few times, it's not funny anymore, you know. And then I know, well, let me cut this off before I eat. You know? but the thing is, for instance, they now have Democrats. They're showing Democrats attacking Rauner, and of course that was during the primary. You know, that was during the primary election, but they are running that. You see, I'm even confused. I know who I'm going to vote for, though. But the fact is that they are using things that were done in the primary election, and they're using them now, the Republicans are, as though those candidates are saying it presently, and of course they're not. I think that I just hope something happens where we have enough people to come out and vote. That bothers me more than anything, because I hear so many people saying, and I was talking to some folks out there on the Dan Ryan the other day, those folks probably are the best judge, because they're out there in that heat and going through all of this because they have a belief that this is going to help. But then when you talk to a lot of other people, I mean, you find out that, well, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen. And hopefully we can get enough people to come out, notwithstanding who the candidates are, to take a role. You know, I remember talking to someone on a radio show, and they were talking about, and a lot of people don't understand this. You do, but a lot of them don't. This gentleman was questioning the fact that how could Clinton get the most votes and lose the election? So she didn't get the most votes. I said, well, yeah, she did get the most votes. She lost the electoral vote. And he made the comment, no, that doesn't make any sense. So I said, well, it may not, but do you know the Pledge of Allegiance? And, you know, I know what he wanted to call me, but he didn't. He says, of course I do. I said, well, would you please say it? And he says, yeah, okay, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic. I said, stop. To the what? To the Republic. I said, in a real democracy, the person who gets the most votes wins. Simple as that. We have a democratic republic. And she did get more votes, but of course she didn't win. I hate to bring that kind of thing up, because a lot of people are thinking, again, well, it doesn't matter. My vote doesn't matter. Your vote does matter. And that's what we are going to be pushing, particularly in, you know, the things, for instance, the police department. You know, we mentioned that there was supposed to be this investigation and so forth that never happened. When I was in the council, I know that the mayor would take three people. He'd get three candidates, and he'd pick one of them. And if he didn't get any of those three, then he would take three more. Well, it's my understanding he didn't do that. He just selected one, not one of the three, but an additional person that he picked for himself. And I think, you know, if that's true, you know, you've got a council who isn't going to say anything about it, unfortunately, in many instances. Some do. We've got some good folks who would say something. But there are so many things that are going on now that I just want to do whatever's necessary to get people to come out to vote, because I think if you do, you're going to vote the right way, and we're going to have a better city, notwithstanding who is the mayor, if enough of us come out.
Amen to that. I'm going to do a quick combination of the last two questions, and let's just go starting with Fran down the line. This is sort of a point counterpoint. Michael Bauer and Ruby. I can't read your last name, but Ruby starts with SCH. Michael, to each one. Are you convinced that Rahm will in fact run for re-election? And Ruby, to each one, who has the best chance to be in the runoff with Rahm?
I think there is a slim, but still a slim chance that Rahm Emanuel does not run. He has not, I mean, he's formed the campaign committee. He's got the structure in place. He has $8 million. He's raising more. He's talking like a candidate, everything else. But if he looks at the polling in the fall, if the trials take a different turn or a scary turn for the city, that's a huge, both of these trials are huge wild cards in the Laquan McDonald case. I think there still is a maybe 10-15% chance that he doesn't run. He doesn't have the in his DNA to walk away, but he also, losing is not allowed in the Emanuel household. So if he thinks he's going to be embarrassed, and he would be, then I think there is a slim chance that he doesn't run.
And who's in the runoff if he is in?
Well, I mean, right now, McCarthy, because of name recognition, is the challenger. But that is a very early gauge, and we've seen that over and over where name recognition is just the snapshot. I think the campaign's got to play out. None of these people are proven commodities. Lori Lightfoot has the ability to be a candidate who can have a progressive coalition if she can put it together, if she can raise the money. Paul Vallis also has a strong appeal, but it's been a long time since people knew him when he was CEO. He was once very popular in the black community. He's got to reintroduce himself. Does he have the money to do that? And can he focus? And he's kind of a policy wonk. He has a lot of detail in his plans. Can he sell them? So I think those people at this point, those three have the strongest chance.
Okay. Cliff.
I do not think that is unlikely. I think it's unlikely that he won't run, but it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me if he didn't. When he finds out how many people. I was honored to MC an event some time ago now when the gubernatorial candidates were just coming out. And of the six of them that were there, five of them said that they didn't think Rahm should be reelected. Which I thought was very interesting at that time. But no, I don't know who would end up if he doesn't run. But I think there's a chance that he may not. If the people that I know from different areas, some independents, some even Republicans, there are a lot of people who think that there are better candidates out there. So I don't know whether he's going to get that message or not. But I definitely think that there is a possibility that he wouldn't. And I think if he does, he'll end up in, I'm not even sure he'd end up in a runoff.
Mm. Kristen.
In Fran, I trust. But I do, I just can't see him not running. I think that's like a bigger ego crusher to him than actually going through with it and losing. So I think he runs. And the obvious, Lori Lightfoot, Paul Vallis, Gary McCarthy ending up in a runoff. I'll tell you who I'd be most afraid of, probably, if I were Rahm Emanuel, and that's Lori Lightfoot. If she is, if she gets well-funded, Year of the Woman, she's really smart, she's a great listener, she could be this kind of behind-the-scenes candidate that bubbles to the surface. That's who I would be most afraid of if I were Rahm Emanuel.
Can I say one other thing? And I think you're right. Just one other thing.
Quick P.S., yes.
Just quickly. I don't want to forget Article 7, Section 11 of the Illinois State Constitution. Don't forget what Quinn is pushing, which would make it two terms.
And that would give Rahm an out, wouldn't it? That would give him an out to say goodbye without being hounded out of office. Yeah. He would be legally hounded out of office.
Thank you all to our panelists. Please give a round of applause. Thank you so much.